Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/verbalshenanigans. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it. Go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Berlew, we are back on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
Shoo-doo-ba-doo.
Episode 69. You hear what I said? Episode 69.
Oh.
Anyway,
that
I'm.
That was an innuendo of some sort.
Yes. I am so happy to be back, Michael Berlew. Yeah. As always, we're doing back-to-back sessions. Well, yeah. Back-to-back nights, I should say.
And a possibility for one couple days from now.
Yeah. And Obi just barged through the door. He's like, I'm in. Where's my mic?
Sorry, I'm late.
But I'm very happy to be back. And we just came off what I thought was a fantastic episode with Mr. Greg Oliver.
Very entertaining.
Very entertaining. And please support him. And the Mickey Byrne story should be told to the world. And hopefully it will be. And, you know, that was a very awesome interview. And not only that, go watch Lemmy. That's an awesome documentary.
That's kind of a guarantee in life. I mean, even if you don't know where the documentary is at, just find them and watch him for a couple minutes.
Yeah, just watch. He should be, Lemmy should be one of those guys, you know, like zoos and stuff have, like, mm-hmm. you could tune in, like, online and, like, watch an animal or something like that. You should be able to just tune in on Lemmy on the website.
Yeah, what's that reality show when they're locked up in the house?
Big Brother,
yeah. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't even be any contestants. It should be Lemmy for 14 episodes.
Right. No, it should be Lemmy and normal people, and Lemmy should win every year. How do you even win on that show? You just
people
be awesome.
Just vote. They have like contests for whatever call, and then like there's a bottom two, and then like people vote who stays and who goes. Apparently, like in Europe, there's this one girl who just decided, since it's Europe, she flashed the camera all the time, so she won because people kept voting for her.
Good strategy. Yeah. Good strategy.
I got knocked down in the first week.
You should start doing that for the podcast. Just Periscope and flash everyone every week.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to be in the room, but we're wearing matching shirts today.
Yeah.
Same colors.
Pepsi blue, I would call it.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Panama soccer jersey. You're wearing a
shirt.
I'm wearing a shirt. But anyway, brother, what's going on?
Same old. Just prepping to do some work over the weekend. So,
woo!
Yeah, that's fun times. Once that goes through, I'm going to be a little more calm, laid back, kind of funnish, if you will, you know?
Ah, you're being plenty funnish. At least use this as your funnish outlet, you know? You're a world.
It was either funnish or murderous. So I'm sticking with funnish for the moment, but I'll just give you a heads up for the next episode when I plan.
That's fine. That's fine. But very excited to be here. We have special guests coming on. Multi guests, five to be exact, at once. This is the first time we're attempting this. Mm-hmm.
I hope it's like Greg Oliver, where they don't have a mic and they all have to crowd around the computer.
I literally think that's what's happening. I think they're crowding around one phone. So we'll get to that in a second. But Burley, you're a world traveler, right? I've traveled
a little, yeah.
You traveled a little Bulgaria, a little India, a little different places. We were talking the other day. I wanted to talk about my time in England when I was a young lad studying abroad in England, and I don't know. So you've spent some time overseas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You told us about a couple crazy experiences in India. I think you told us one about the body.
Mm-hmm. The body in the water. That was interesting.
But there was this, I'm not sure if you told it, but so it doesn't really matter, but you should tell it anyway. You were telling us the other day while we were at the restaurant about the Indian man who sat on your lap.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so...
I got a story, too, but...
All right, so the Indian man who sat on my lap, of course, the story happens in Bulgaria.
Oh, of course, not India.
Are you kidding me? It happened in Bulgaria during United States Thanksgiving. And basically, I was over there for a project. One of my guys from India came over to help out with the project. Day was completely dead. As much as people say you're 24/7, you're global, when it's a U.S. holiday, nothing happened. So I call up a friend that was down there. I'm not just
sorry.
Stop laughing at me. So I call up a friend, seeing what she's doing. She's like, I'm going to the mall. I'm like, all right, screw it. And I go, hey, man, we're going to the mall. Get over there. It was a pretty fun time, actually. I was in a little grumpy mood, but I had a good time, you know, hanging out, doing some mall stuff. So the day was over with, and she's like, all right, I'll give you a ride back to your hotel. And we go up to her car, and my sidekick was going to get in the back of the car. And I told him, no, man, I'll take the back seat. And I'm a tall man, but I like the back seat because I can sit my lap on my butt on one side and put my legs onto the other side of the car. I can get more room, I figure, that way, stretching out.
Right.
So I do
which I can affirm. You sat like that yesterday when we were driving. Mm-hmm. You were in the back seat.
Yeah, and I do that. Then all of a sudden, my Indian cohort jumps directly on my lap.
Ooh.
And when I say directly on my lap, I'm literally saying it bullseye to the crotch area.
Was this music playing?
Thinking. It's not really a Thanksgiving song, but still.
But it's Bollywood techno.
So it happens, and, you know, my first thought is, what the hell? So I give him, like, a freaking hockey elbow, and I scoot over to the other side to give him the what the hell look. And as I do it, I notice he sits down next to me in the back seat. And to give you this is a very small car. So pretty much the scene is, as we're driving along in traffic in Bulgaria, a fetching blonde woman driving a car with two grown men sitting in the back seat, huddled up next to each other, cramped together. And she was laughing her ass off at me, and she knew I was getting aggravated with it, and I kept on, like, punching the back of her seat. I'm like, shut up, shut up, shut up. And so I had to sit in the back seat with an Indian man for, like, 20 minutes after he sat in my lap.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. I'm sorry that happened to you.
I'm a world traveler.
Yeah.
I actually got some stories I've told a buddy. He said, unless I'm rich and famous where I won't care about the story, I won't tell that story.
Oh, nice. Well, when this podcast takes off, then you'll tell a story.
Well, keep going.
Yeah. I did a semester in London, a winter semester, so it was like 3.5 weeks, something like that.
Okay.
So, of course, you're in London and, you know, you're partying every night, drinking every night. So we go on like a little castle tour or something like that, and there's a liquor store in there. Now, the whole time, people are talking about, like, oh, let's drink absinthe, let's drink absinthe, let's drink absinthe. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, and when you hear absinthe, you think of, like, these crazy, like, hallucination, like, oh, it's going to make you fucking jump off a roof and this and that. So a kid buys a bottle on the tour. And we get back to the dorm rooms or whatever. And apparently the way you're supposed to drink absinthe, you take sugar cubes on a spoon and you melt them kind of like a crackhead and let the sugar drip into the absinthe and then you take a drink of it.
All right, sounds legit.
So we take a bunch of drinks of it and stuff like that. I'm feeling fine, right? And we go out and we go to a bar and whatnot. And that's where memories are pretty much gone, right?
Okay.
So we go out. Now, we're in the middle of London, right? I don't know where I'm going. And what I do remember is all my friends getting on, I think they call it the tube there or the I don't know, whatever the subway is there.
Okay.
And they all leave, and I'm stuck in the terminal because I put my ATM card in, and I it didn't come out. It, like, locked it in there. And I'm freaking out because my ATM card is my only source of, like, cash in London, you know? Like, and now I think this is where the – looking back, this is – I know where the absinthe hit. Apparently, I was yelling in the train station that – I need my fucking ATM card or I'm going to kill a Brit. I don't even care. I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to kill a Brit. Stuff like that. I'm like, sir, calm down. Blah, blah, blah. We'll get your ATM card. So apparently I was freaking out. They unlocked the whatever. They opened up the ATM, got my card back. And then the whole time they so I lost all my friends or people that I met. No clue. I'm in the middle of London. And the whole time they tell us, look, there's like a cab service and a normal cab service. And then there's like what they call like the rape cabs. Like these like people like – it's basically like Uber. Like cutthroat guys is trying to pretend they're like
– oh, yeah. They have it in Bulgaria too and all like – basically to become a taxi driver in Bulgaria is to have a yellow car.
Yep.
That's it. And then those guys, like the second you step in the car – middle broken, what they live.
So under the influence of absinthe, I decide to call for a cab.
All right.
And the rape cab picks me up. And we were like, apparently, we were only like maybe like 2 miles away from where we were staying. And I took the cab back, and the man charged me £60.
Jesus.
Which is the equivalent at that time of like $120-something dollars. And I just think of me making a big scene at a in another country yelling, I'm going to kill a Brit under the influence of absinthe.
Interesting.
Did it make me hallucinate? No, I don't think so. Did it get – I think it just makes you really drunk, and I think that's why people think it's so crazy. I just think it's a very high alcohol percentage, but I don't know. The whole absinthe, like – I don't know. At least they're always like, it's made of wood. What is it? Woodworms or something like that, or wood, something like that. And that's what the hallucinogenic is. And as far as I'm concerned, it didn't make me hallucinate. And I'm a little nervous about that. I don't do drugs and stuff like that. So, but it did make me very, very intoxicated to the point where I could have been like, you know, locked up or detained over in England.
I think I can. Beat that. I was almost in a porno in Bulgaria.
You're going to have to hold that thought, and I have another story where I was in the emergency room in Dublin, but what we have to do is introduce our guests.
Oh. Okay.
We'll come back to that. So remember that? Porno. Yeah, exactly. I am very excited because we are we're changing up a little bit. We're getting a band on today.
Yeah.
We're getting a band. And the name of the band is Tooth Grinder.
Okay.
Now, you hear the name Tooth Grinder, you probably can assume that they're not like folk music.
I was thinking classically trained, yeah. You know, Philharmonic, and I see a lot of like wood instruments involved. Yes.
But Tooth Grinder is a metal band that is very much up and coming and just got signed and just completed their first record.
Very nice.
And for Spine Farm Records, and we're going to try to get him on the line right now, and hopefully it works the first time. We'll see. This is always the challenge.
Right. Scott is lining up his putt here for his Skype call. He's
He's going through configurations. He's moving up to scroll bar. He's found... Has he found his contact yet? Nope, nope. He has to search for it. Very exciting time here at the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. That's where excitingly awaiting Tooth Grinder.
We have.
He's going for it.
We have beeping.
It's looking good right now. Could it be? Is there a chance? Oh, it's curving.
It never works the first time. It's like sex. Connecting, and then I guarantee it's going to go, burr, and then the second time it's going to work.
Oh,
that's all we had with Greg the other night.
Oh, you'll have to settle for bogey. Turn down for what? Right now, Scott is sending an email. As we're quietly awaiting the arrival of Tooth.
Boo!
They were so close.
But anyway, they are a... they are a... I guess you would call them progressive metal band.
Okay.
I'm a fan of some metal. I can go from like listening to metal in the car to like Marvin Gaye. So it's mm-hmm. I like a little bit of everything. So let's try one more time as we talk. But I figure we're changing it up a little bit here.
Yeah, different guess.
Let's see. Quite on the field as we're trying desperately to get a hold of Tooth Grinder.
Oh, Tooth Grinder.
They're very elusive, the Tooth Grinder. They just...
Very loose teeth.
They can smell your scent within 2 miles of their habitat.
What up?
Hello, is this Wills Weller?
It's working? You there?
Yes, hello.
Sick. What up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, dude. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
Yeah, what's up?
Don't you feel like your life as a band is complete now that you've been on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast?
You know, I'm feeling really good. Not going to lie. Feeling really great about it.
We're the current age of Martha Quinn, so that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Right? Dude, I'm doing my best I can, you know?
But anyway, Wills, first off, welcome to the podcast. This is Scott Brennan. This is my buddy Michael Berlew here on the left of me and the other Michael here.
Evening, good sir.
What up, dudes?
So, you know, like we've been playing a little bit of email tag or whatnot. And,
yeah.
But it's all good, and we like to welcome it. Is it just you, or you have the whole band?
I was going
to
say, I got Justin and Milky. So Milky's a guitar player, Justin's a vocalist.
How's it going, man?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So I have a little bit of inside information on you guys, because you happen to know my brother.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, you know.
I know. Isn't my brother one of those guys that's, like, too nice that you just want to, like...
I feel like he's faking it, you know?
You know, he's always been that way. He's like the kind of guy like and here's what happened. Like when we were growing up, like Tim would be like you know, he was that kid who would like do puzzles and stuff like that, and I was the kid who would like break things and get in trouble. Yeah.
Like the puzzles he was doing.
Right. But then like Tim would do something. Like Tim had this move back in the day where he would put my face into a couch cushion and jump on my head, and he called
nice.
It. And he called it the super dupa, right?
I'm doing that to him next time I see him.
Yeah,
nice.
And he would jump on my face until like breathing was not an option, and I would get up and scream and be like, "Mom!" And she would be like, "Knock it off, Scott!" Like, because Tim would like go back to his perfectly perfected puzzle.
That's amazing.
He's one of those guys. He's a sneaky guy. He's so
really
nice.
Something else.
He is.
It's a tad American Psycho there.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those guys. He does puzzles to try to like hide that he's like a maniac, just like the rest of us Irish folk. But anyway, I want to welcome the guys of Tooth Grinder onto the show, and I just became familiar with Tooth Grinder, even though I hate dentists. But
zing, zing, zing.
Yeah. First off, let's start there. Where does the name Tooth Grinder come from?
Well, I love how everyone has a million different ideas of what they think. So first off, what do you think it came from? I would love to know what you guys think first, because everyone always thinks something crazy and different.
Here's what I think. Here's my theory. You guys, you're playing some pretty serious progressive metal, right?
Okay.
And you're jamming one day and you're like, dude, we need like a pretty hard name. And one guy suggests like something grinder, and another guy suggests something else, and you were like, "How about Tooth Grinder?" And that was kind of, it.
It's pretty good. Right. It's this close. You're warm.
Like I feel like I was in bands for years, and none of the names were ever this like, you know, like shining light. Like like we came up with the name. Like it was just kind of like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shining Light, that's a good one.
Shining Light, why didn't you just call the band that?
Yeah, because then we could have played Christian concerts all over the place.
Dude, you would have made it.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, I had a couple bands. I had a band called Linus. That was my first band in high school.
Nice.
I had a band called Reverence.
Nice.
I had a band called The Rifle.
Okay.
And I had a band called Heavy Molecules.
Whoa, ooh, like that one.
That got a little
lot of,
deep.
Like, delay and reverb.
Yeah. Oh, tons of delay and reverb.
So
We got a little deep. We got a little trippy. We like channeled our inner Mars Volta and
love that.
Yeah. So give us the Tooth Grinder scenario here.
Well, basically, I mean, we feel like Tooth Grinder is almost a feeling. I know it's the name of our band, but it's kind of the feeling right in the middle of our set or right in the middle of anything that you're doing, that you're grinding away at, you're not giving up, you're giving it your absolute all at all times. And I feel like that feeling you get is like, it's Tooth Grinder.
Like grinding your teeth.
Yeah,
I
man, just being in it and going for it.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I feel like if you've ever seen us live or watched like a video on YouTube, like, I don't know, we just try and give it our all at all points in time, you know? Just for ourselves and for everyone else. And I feel like the name kind of fits, I don't want to say the attitude, but I don't know, the way it kind of comes off.
That's pretty badass. I get that.
My band name would be Lethal Barbecue.
Whoa. Damn. I would hire you for my birthday and stuff.
Thank you. You know, dude, where I got that from? I was in like junior high, and like a science teacher told us how like some people would take the grills out of a refrigerator and use it for barbecuing. But apparently they didn't know that there's Freon in the grill, so it would kill people.
Oh, my God.
Ergo, Michael Berlew, if he ever gets any musical talent, will be the lead of Lethal Barbecue.
Dude, so sick.
That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
I had a band in it wasn't really a band. It was more of like electronic kind of like dancey, sexy songs. And we called ourselves Project Porpoise.
Sick.
That's pretty
like
cool,
that.
Right? You like that?
Did you guys wear shirts on stage or no shirts?
Well, we never got to play a show live, but the whole goal was to dress like just, you know, lunatics on stage. So it was probably would have been no shirts.
They never really got the band together, but they were shirtless a lot of times together.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I was kind of going for. Yeah.
Every song we ever recorded was like a 30-pack deep and like in a garage somewhere in East Rutherford.
So it sounded really good.
Oh, naturally. Naturally,
yeah.
It sounded
good. Yeah, dude, likewise, it's all good.
But on a more serious note, I heard some good things about you, and my brother put me in touch with you, and I've been listening to some of the songs, and I'm definitely digging the vibe. It's
nice.
It's pretty heavy, but it's pretty intricate at the same time, which is what I like. A lot of times I don't just like heavy for heavy's sake. I like some layers like to certain music. And I'm not just like BSing you because you're on the podcast because...
No, yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely got some layers. It's definitely got some ridiculous drumming.
Nice. Thanks, man.
And I think that comes from I think that comes from your hair.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I usually Google drums right before we play to kind of like brush up on stuff, but I just try and grow my hair out, and that's like it.
So you just Google drums and you get inspired.
Yeah,
by
before
it.
We play.
So you were off tonight. I accidentally Googled plums tonight. It was terrible.
Yeah, a lot of house all night on drums, but pretty much I mainly just take care of the hair.
Drumming for dummies.
Yeah, you know.
But you guys are starting to pick up a little steam here. You got signed recently, and
absolutely,
I know you are. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you just finished your record, correct?
Yes, absolutely. We just finished it, so really excited about that.
So where'd you record it?
We recorded down in Bethesda, Maryland with a fellow named Taylor Larson, the same guy we did our EP with.
Okay.
So it was kind of cool. You know, there was no, like, getting to know you time. It was, boom, right back in the studio, almost like right where we left off, but with new songs, new ideas, and more time. So it was kind of a perfect recipe, you know?
Now, here's the question. When you went into the studio, did you have all the tracks set, or did you actually have, like, studio time to work things out?
Both. It was pretty cool. We had a bunch of songs, and we cut a bunch of songs, which was cool because we felt like we really picked, you know, the real good ones. And then that happened pretty quick. We kind of – the good ones jumped out, you know, as they do. And it was cool. We had a bunch of time to kind of sit down and really analyze each song and make sure that it wasn't boring or this part was needed to be like this or – yeah. So it was a little bit of both, which was kind of exciting because, I don't know, I feel like all the recording things we've done so far was like get in, do your part as quickly as possible, and like let's get out. So it was kind of – it was cool to really – I don't know, push ourselves.
It's funny you say that because like when I think of my personal like recording, you know, history, which isn't much, but the couple of studios I went to, it was let's lay these tracks down, let's hope we hit it perfectly in the first couple takes, and you know, I see these documentaries on like albums where they're able to sit and analyze and listen. I'm like, hey, maybe we should add that, maybe we should take out that. That
totally,
like coming from, you know, an unknown band to like where you're kind of established and you get that respect in studio time, that has to be something amazing.
Oh, it was the coolest feeling. Like, and of course I feel like, you know, and this is just me personally, but I've always wanted to create an album. Like,
right.
Like you listen to Dark Side of the Moon, like that's a huge piece of music that they created. And that's such an undertaking for a band, you know, and it was just super cool that we got to
I love that Miley Cyrus album. That's my favorite of hers.
Oh, my God. So good. It's seriously been in my car since it came out.
No, fact, she was Hannah Montana.
No.
Did not know that.
No way.
Listen, I was walking through the mall one day. Wig fell off. I'm like, oh, my God. Are you Miley Cyrus?
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I don't know what she was doing.
So Dark Side of the Moon and Hannah Montana.
Yeah, I don't know what she was doing at my strip mall.
Completely perfect comparison.
What a perfect being. What a perfect being she is. But in all seriousness, so like to take that time, like analyze songs and like be able to put your best forward and like I know like a lot of times the drummers, like did you guys do drums as the first take?
No, I mean, it took a couple tries. Some things I hit right away and some things I kind of maybe needed to analyze a little bit more and kind of go over, but yeah, go back to Google and kind of like check my phone and like the how-to stuff, you know, but, but I mean, I don't know. It was really cool. Like I just didn't feel pressured. It was fun every day to kind of create like, just cool songs that we were all proud of, you know, I never felt pressured. So.
That's awesome.
From listening to it, in my perspective, I love it every time. Like, it hasn't gotten annoying or boring or old. I love it. So,
now, what drew you to the drums exactly?
Well, I'm a really big fan of circles. So, like, I have no idea. My dad's a guitar player, and he kind of – I feel like he probably wanted me to play guitar, but he would, like, take me to band practice, and I would always just – be fixated on the drums. So he's like, all right, dude, you're a drummer. So like when I was like 2 years old, my parents bought me a drum kit, and I don't know, I've literally been playing drums.
So you were literally like soiling yourself while playing at 2 years old?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd throw up all over myself, be getting fed and just be playing drums.
So the point is that nothing's changed.
Basically, nothing has changed. Besides, like, it's harder to get fed while on stage, but that's about it.
But it's funny because, like, you know, I play bass myself, and I dabble in a little bit of drums, but I look at the drums, and that's all I want to play.
They're so cool.
That's all I want to play. I want to hit things and rock out. And
yeah.
You know, bass playing, you know, we're usually the kind of guys that get left behind. We're obviously the most handsome, but
yeah, that's arguable. We're just gonna keep going.
But we're like the underappreciated section of the band.
Yeah. Guys most likely to get left at the rest stop.
Those two notes that I play every song, or they're just so underrated.
Seriously, no one gets me. It's my own style.
So when you're in the studios, how long does it generally take to do like one song? I mean, in this case, when you really had time to like concentrate, and like a comparison between the Rush In and Rush Out versus this album.
I'd say if the song was 3.5 minutes, it probably took me about 1:45.
Wow. You time traveled.
So it was pretty quick. Now, I mean, I don't know, depending on the song. Some songs I blew right through and like just knew what I was going to do. And then when you get Taylor involved, who was the guy who was engineering and producing, and then he's got ideas because it's the first time he's ever listening to it. So he immediately just feels something. And sometimes that's the coolest thing, because and then we try and act on it. And he's like, no, man, try to do this fill. And it's like, whoa, dude, that was a great idea. You know, he just felt something different. And sometimes that was a good way to go. So it was kind of exciting to, on the fly, just kind of go for it.
I love that. Like some of the, you know, you hear all these stories about like great albums and stuff like that. And like sometimes to trust the producer or the engineer, like, or see your music from an outside perspective, because sometimes you're so stuck in this is what I've learned to play and what we've developed these songs, and you become protective of it.
Absolutely. You get so married to it that it's like it's so hard to like separate yourself. And I think we learned that a lot in the studio this time around, where we were trying to just remind ourselves and remind each other like, hey, no one else has ever heard this. Just us. It's okay to change. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's all good. And it's nice. It's kind of comforting now that we got over that of like, oh my God, no, it's got to be like that. It's like, nah, dude, it doesn't. It can be whatever. So
exactly.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a pretty good point.
Yeah. So it, like, I always felt that even like being in a band, like I became like so at times I became so protective of like my bass lines and stuff like that. Like, this is what killed. I'm like, two guys would be like, well, can you try this? Like, no, I can't try that. You know, like it becomes this like, that's when you know you have a good band, when there is an ebb and flow and there is a suggestion and like, try this maybe. And then a lot of times what you're not hearing is the better thing.
No doubt. And I feel like that's number one rule in a band, is like, it's a full team effort. And like, sometimes the guitar player tells me like, dude, just play this on drums. And it's something that I wouldn't even think of, because maybe it's very simple, you know? And it's like, no, I don't want to play that. I want to play something crazy. But then I play that and it's like, dude, you're totally right. That was exactly what should have been played. And it's like just a different perspective, but for the same song. It's super cool to kind of allow that to happen, like the ebb and flow like you're talking about, you know?
Now, Wills, you obviously, just watching your drumming, you have, I could see that you have a metal influence, maybe not in your everyday drumming, but at least on the record and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When I hear the songs that I've heard, I definitely get a little bit of early Dillinger in there. I definitely get that like off tempo, like kind of math rock kind of thing every once in a while. Not through the whole song, but like definitely some of the breakdowns. Do you think that's true, or would you say that's
absolutely? I mean, I'm glad that question came up, because like I don't consider myself a metal drummer. I'm just a drummer, and the style of music that we're playing is that. So the style of drums is just going to be catered towards that. If we played a part that had a banjo in it, I would probably like play kick and hi-hat and maybe do a snare roll, and that is like the least metal thing ever.
So you're saying that's the next Tooth Grinder album?
I'm pretty much saying we're going to go straight acoustic this next record, and this is probably the first.
So you guys will be opening for Mumford & Sons next year?
Nice. No, they might be opening for us. But
whoa! Whoa!
Tooth Grinder calling him out!
Zing! Zing, zing, zing!
Here we go, Twitter war.
Banjo now, shit.
Meek Mills and Drake move over Mumford & Sons and Tooth Grinder. No, but I mean, like, did you grow up on metal or
no, not at all. It was interesting. Like, well, I mean, you know, maybe I take that back. My dad was in like a punk band, but you know, I heard that music so much that I was always trying to like get other things. And he was also a huge Jimi Hendrix fan, so like I got that side. And
that,
then
the guitarist from Wings, right?
No, I think he was in Rolling Stones. I don't know, though. I'm not sure. I'll Google it later when I'm checking out drums. But I don't know. So, I mean, they really showed me a lot of different styles of music. Like one of my favorite bands growing up was The Ventures. And, you know, they're like a surf band.
Right.
And, okay. Like, that was seriously one of my most favorite bands. I had their tape. I had The Ventures and Parliament Funkadelic. And those were, like, my two tapes when I was a little kid. And I would just play them to death.
God.
And I don't know. So it's like...
I love funk so much. That's literally the reason I started playing bass.
Who?
Well, P-Funk and Flea.
Dude, that's sick. Flea. Those are solid.
Literally, Flea was the reason I went from like, I want to play guitar, and then I played Blood Sugar Sex Magik over and over again. I'm like,
hell,
I want to play bass now.
Dude, so sick.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Now, when you go through all these phases, how do you find a way to like combine them to get to what you do nowadays? I mean, do you still take a hint of what you did growing up with your metal?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel that's the coolest part about our band is like no one is judgmental about any of the riffs or parts or choruses or anything that you write. So you just play like, I don't know, you just play whatever you think to it.
And what's the scene like out there for like rock and metal? Because I've said it on this podcast before. I'm almost a little sad at where it's at right now, just because you basically have to have like a serious radio to listen to any like new music in the rock or metal scene nowadays.
Yeah, it's almost like you got to have XM like satellite something or other. I mean, you know, in New Jersey, honestly, where we're from, like in Asbury Park, the scene for metal and hard rock isn't as thriving as I would love it to be. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, we do have a very awesome music scene where we do get respect from the rock and roll bands and the other bands, you know, that play. Like, we definitely get respect from them, but it's tough to put on a show, like, to have, like, a singer-songwriter pop punk band and then, like, Tooth Grinder. It's like, dude, who's going to go to that, you know? But
yeah,
who's going to go see a band called Tooth Grinder anyway? But that's besides the point.
No, I don't know.
But it's Will, okay.
Wills, I have a question, not for you, but is Justin there?
Yeah.
Yeah, right here.
Justin, if you can move closer.
Yep.
Justin, my brother told me that you have delicious abs.
Actually, not at the moment. I've been eating pizza and ice cream every day.
You heard it first. He lost his abs on Vernal.
But, Justin, you know, as a singer of like a metal band, does it, like, I always, like, you know, I went through a stage where I was in a band where we played, like, heavier music and stuff like that. But I was not, I didn't grow up on metal. I grew up kind of on, like, punk and pop punk and Face to Face and all this stuff, you know? Like, and does it become, like, hard to get the feeling of, like, anger through lyrics? Like, because, like, naturally you have, like, a with metal, you have to have some kind of, like, edge to it a little bit. Does it become hard to, like, write lyrics like that after a while or, like, as you get older? Or is it just, like, you write lyrics for yourself and just deliver them hard?
I think it – well, I mean, I guess starting out playing in bands and like when you're younger and you're just like more pissed off for whatever reason. Nope. But when you're younger, I guess it's easier to write like corny, cheesy, like angry lyrics or whatever. But I feel like as you get older, the writing matures and you start writing about like stuff you really care about and not like petty things.
Right. So like, what I'm saying is like, now you're writing about like stuff about like that comes from yourself, right?
Yeah, like real stuff, like and the whole spectrum of from personal stuff to outside world stuff, like to whatever I feel like writing about at the time. It's not necessarily angry. I mean, I guess all of it has a little bit of an edge to it, or has some kind of, I don't know, like negative energy, I guess, to Brashen, yeah. But I don't know. The EP we put out, it was so like we chose our heaviest songs to put on that, so that we had at the time. So most of the lyrics were angry, but like the full length we're doing now, there's a lot of dynamic to it. There's softer parts, softer songs, and like heavier songs. So like it's gonna be as far as lyrics are concerned, my writing's changed tremendously.
Now, do you write all the lyrics for the band, or is it like a team effort?
Mm-hmm.
So you do write all the lyrics now?
Yes.
Now, do you ever like if I took your lyrics out of like a, whatever you want to call it, metal or progressive metal, whatever you call yourself, like I feel like that's the worst part of being in a band these days. It's like, what are you? You know, like, well, we're music. If you took your lyrics out of like a metal context, would you be able to put them in like more of like an acoustic or a, you know, like a, I don't know if the word is like
something softer, and
gentler, or like more melodic.
Yeah, definitely. On I'd say the majority of the songs on the new record, I definitely could. Some no, but I'd say most of them I could.
That's awesome.
I mean, you've seen it before. Like, take Slipknot, for example. I mean, one of their biggest songs ever was Snuff, which was pretty much almost like a power ballad, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
it's like a guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, now the band's getting a little bit of traction, you know, like starting to get traction. You guys got signed, and you should be proud of that. Now you're recording, and you are, if I am correct, you're going out on what, Monday, out on a tour?
Friday.
Okay, Friday. So literally tomorrow?
Oh, sorry, next Friday.
Next week, yeah.
Oh.
Plenty of time.
So you can talk for another 5 hours, right?
Yeah, we're good. We got nothing.
That guy's got to work on his abs so he can get back in torture.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. He's got
to watch.
He's got to get in performance shape.
Yeah.
But like, so you're going out on a tour now. And first off, who is the tour with, just so we know?
It's a band Reflections, a band Youth Forever, it used to be called Villains, and then another band Exalt.
That's right. Now, when I was in bands, I always, like, the only tours, quote-unquote tours I did was, like, getting in a van and doing New York shows or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do get to the level, like, holy shit, maybe this can be something, like, maybe this is what I can do. Do you still have that, like, do you have that excitement, like, as a kid, like, oh my god, like, these are my dreams come true, or
oh yeah, definitely. Especially like on our two tours ago, on our first real big one, I had a few moments where it was just like, damn, I'm finally doing it, like it's crazy. I don't think I've ever lost the enthusiasm. I think I just become more real with the situation because it's no longer like, I'm just going to hang out and, you know, not have to pay any bills and try to play music or whatever. But now you're just like, okay, but I also have real world stuff I have to think about. So like, you still have the enthusiasm, but then there's like trying to balance everything, which kind of stresses you out.
Now, like, it's funny because when, I know, like, when people hear, oh, you got signed, automatically they think, like, you know, you're driving Bugattis and...
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, but I know it is. Like, oh, I got signed. Well, yeah, I got signed because people believed in my music, but now we have to, like, go earn it in a way, you know, like...
No
go,
doubt.
Yeah.
But, so, like, you're going on tour now, and this is a U.S. tour, right?
Yes.
So you're going on tour. does this bring the band together, or is there any kind of like nervous feelings about it? Is it like to go, like how long is the tour first off?
This one's pretty short. It's 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
So like, so have you guys traveled for that long together?
Yes, we have. We've all grown up together. So
okay.
We're around each other a lot. I mean, four of us went to the same high school and the other guy went to the high school down the street kind of. So we've all known each other for a real long time.
So
I'd say touring definitely brings us all together, because it kind of goes back to your last question when you said, do you still get excited? And I get super excited, and my most excitement comes on the road. It's really when the downtime, when like you're at home and you're just trying to wait until the, you know,
yeah,
get
work
through
and do the boring stuff
to get to the next tour. Yeah,
tour is like, I don't want to say like the best thing ever, but it's the fun times, and it's almost like even though we're traveling, I'm way less like stressed out because I don't know, it's exactly what I want to be doing at the moment.
You're kind of in your zone and you can concentrate on it.
Yeah, it's like, this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm not stressed. I'm not anxious. I'm just like, I'm loving it. I'm loving every second of it.
That's,
you know?
Awesome, man. I mean, that's a dream come true. Do any of you guys have families? Like kids or anything like that?
Oh, no. No, we're all...
See, that's great.
We're all pretty... I mean, few of us have girlfriends, but no, like no one's married, no one has kids.
Oh, then you guys should hit this tour like monsters.
Oh yeah, no, I mean we have a good time. It's fun.
But so like I also got through the grapevine. I'm not going to reveal my source, but maybe you could figure it out. I heard you guys just lost a member of the band here. He may have been in automobile form. I heard his name is Van Halen.
Oh,
yes.
Can we please not talk about this?
Listen, I am like Barbara Walters here. I'm driving the hard questions.
Yeah. Well, it was a sad day. We've had it for about since 2010.
Okay.
And it's gone on every tour. It went into Canada in February with no heat or defrost. That was sick. That was
you don't need
fun.
That. Dude, you're a metal band. What the hell is... The heat should come from your soul.
I'm just saying it didn't
That's
happen.
Our next
That's
album, actually.
I'm not saying we don't have it. It didn't have it. Yeah.
So it died?
So basically, that last tour we went on with 36, we got broken into in Montreal. So the entire back window was smashed in.
Jesus.
That window's like 6 feet long almost. So
What was it? What was the van? Like what?
It was a 95 Chevy sport van, 15 passenger.
Oh,
and it was
God.
White on the bottom and like navy blue on top. It was
That's
so
what my
sick.
Old scout leader used to drive.
Oh, I bet.
All right, we're bringing it up here for us. All right. Looks kind of sexy there.
So it died. So what are we touring in now, gentlemen?
Well, we just bought
a
short school bus.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes. Mm. And so you have to paint it, obviously, because it's illegal to have it yellow, because obviously it looked like crazy people. Yeah, so
I would have kept it yellow and just picked up side jobs to pay for the tour.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, when we're not doing anything on tour, like, we could probably make a good amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll paint it yellow when we come back.
Right.
But basically, we bought that thing. We're going to rip out all the seats and build bunks. So it's a little step up from a 15-passenger. At least you could stand up straight in it.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, so... We'll see.
That's great, man. So, like, I have a couple questions about touring, okay?
All right.
I got a couple questions about touring. First off, what are the rules of the touring bus? Do you guys, like, have to know? Well, I guess in a yellow bus, you can't really dump on the bus anyway.
That's
true.
Did, I guess it depends on what color.
Well,
if you did, you'd probably be kicked out of the band.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a bathroom, so there's no bathroom rules.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there is one bathroom rule. If you pee in a bottle and someone accidentally drinks it, you have to take a sip as well.
Oh, mm. Yes.
That's just a rule that I think should be had. Because no one wants to drink piss.
Okay. So do you guys get a rider? Do you get anything that comes with you?
No, that's not true? At the moment. We're still fairly new and trying to work up to that. So,
okay.
I mean, we get water. Sometimes we get water, and that's usually amazing.
Well, I'm so glad you guys made it and you get water.
Somebody hands him a Dasani. We made it!
Really good with vitamin C. All
right. Who in the band is the loudest sleeper? Like, who snores a lot?
It always changes. It depends on drinks, if you slept the night before, a little bit of anything. Anybody, honestly, could take the cake.
Okay.
I'd say Justin.
I think you guys are being too nice right now. Yeah.
This
I think you're being too
like
nice.
Tooth grinder type answers,
yeah,
to be honest.
These are like more of the Miley Cyrus answers.
Ooh, I like where you're going with this.
Listen, tooth grinder, let's cause some controversy. Let's get a little weird.
Okay.
All right.
So I guess probably our parents, when we take them on tour, they sleep or they snore the most.
Oh, God.
They're the oldest.
God. Who's the cheapest?
Who's what?
Who's the cheapest?
Well, we're all pretty broke. The cheapest. I don't know. Milky,
frugal. Let's call it frugal then.
We'll say Milky, the guitar player.
Okay.
But also could blow some money on some crazy shit.
Who's the ladies' man?
Ladies' man, I don't know. Maybe all of us. We're all pretty dashing.
Are you? I mean, Wills,
I'll take the cake on that one.
Wills, I'm looking at your Skype picture and your hair flowing in the wind.
So Goldilocks is going to take that one.
All right. But then again, I've heard about Justin's abs through the grapevine.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I wasn't trying to like step up.
But they're not as good as they were before, Scott. We've heard this.
True. A lot of ice cream.
All right. Who in your band is the least metal off stage?
The least metal off stage?
Yep.
Dude, all of us. Every single person.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I don't know. Yeah, like we have an engineer who went to Penn State. We have a personal trainer, chef, creative writer,
chef/
astronaut, and I like work in a music store. So all
right,
Who's the worst driver? Milky.
Milky.
Dude, worst driver.
Milky, if you would like to step forward and...
Milky, step forward, please.
Milky, please defend your case.
I had one band incident about 5 years ago. And
they hold it against you, don't they?
Can't live it down, these guys. But I've been to bump into a Greyhound bus and everyone freaks out.
Just came out of nowhere, man.
Happened to be a church vehicle, so no harm, no foul. No one was injured. You know, it was really this pickup truck's fault, but I had about 4 cups of coffee and about 30 beers the night before. That didn't help.
All right, give me your...
So, you know, 5 years later, these guys still can't live it down, but who am I to judge?
But that's the way it goes, Melky. Yeah. I mean, you crashed into a church van. It's fine.
But only once. It's off my record right now.
Yeah. Now we're being recorded. It's only once.
What's like one of the funniest tour stories you guys got between the three of you?
Funniest tour stories.
Something weird that happened to you.
This one. Who's got a good one?
You guys have to have a good one. You can't be tooth grinder and be like, yeah, one day we went to sleep and ate a whole lot of Doritos and had a 6-pack.
For like 15 hours. It was crazy.
That's nuts, dude.
Dude, one time we did our taxes 1 month early. It was insane.
Dude, that is insane.
I could tell the Milky sleep
apnea
one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I heard that in the background, by the way.
There's too many of them.
Yeah, there's too many. I'll chime in on this one. It was involving Milky. It was before we had a trailer and we were loading all the gear in the back half of the van, so like sleeping conditions were not optimal.
Right.
Jason and myself were sleeping in the driver and shoddy positions. And Milky was in the first bench right behind us. So we weren't really sleeping all that well. We were in a Walmart parking lot, and Milky also has, on top of snoring, he does have sleep apnea, and then he talks in his sleep, depending on how much alcohol is consumed.
Right.
So there was one night, everybody's passed out, snoring, and Jason and I wake up to Milky, who starts to sit up in his sleep, but we thought he was awake, start going,
Hey.
And then just, and Jason and I were just like, what, dude? Like, what? What the fuck? Or what's going on? And he immediately just looks at us, lays back down, and continues snoring incredibly loud.
Love it. Love it.
So, I mean, that's awesome. Typical just any night, depending on how much alcohol is consumed.
Awesome, dude.
Also broke down in the middle of Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, another story, too. Last tour, basically the wheel fell off while driving on the highway.
Van Halen.
Wait, the wheel fell off?
Yeah, the tie rod snapped and some other support, the ball joint snapped, and it tied up the brake line, and basically the van fell onto the front passenger side wheel, and we were just skidding real hard. If we didn't have a trailer or anything holding us down, we definitely would have probably flipped right over.
That was a Gary Cherone Van Halen van.
Yeah, that was like the Van Hagar.
Yeah, that was Van Hagar.
But, it's a lot of it's typical. I mean, this, like I said, the funny stories that come through are like those little nuances where, you know, Milky talking in his sleep and obviously sleep at the end.
Right.
You know, we have other, you know, there's a lot of good times, especially the tour that we did with Contortionist and Revocation. And
oh, nice. Yeah, I know Contortionist. Yep.
Those, the Revocation dudes are just top notch and some of the funniest human beings on the planet.
Oh, that's awesome. That was
a good story for you.
When the three of you, or even the one of you, whoever wants to step up, when you decompress, when you're not playing metal, because I know how, like, people are like, oh, you listen to metal all day long. There's no way you guys listen to metal all day long. What is your decompressed music?
I think mine is like, I've been listening to a lot of Budos Band.
Okay.
And like, they're way, way off of metal. They're not even close.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I feel like that, and that's what I like listening to music like that, like Budos Band or like Snarky Puppy, because it kind of takes my mind off of metal and makes my brain think another way. Like I was saying before, like, I'm not a metal drummer, I'm just a drummer. So you cater to the song that's being played. So I listen to that because that drummer is catering to that style and I'm kind of picking up what he's doing. And then when someone writes a riff in our band, it's like, okay, now I have that knowledge of what he was doing. And that kind of almost sounds like it. So let me try and just do something, and then it becomes totally not the norm, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I listen to so much of everything. It's like, it's impossible. I hate when people like pigeonhole you into like one genre. It's like, no, this is what I'm playing, but there's so many influences all over the world.
Yeah, but like, I love jazz and rap and yep, literally everything, dude. Like, it doesn't matter. It's all a different form of music and just sounds a little different than one another.
I love the 1975. That's it. That's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
That's it? Mm. That's the one?
Yeah.
You want to hear
a little, and a good band.
I got a question. You want to hear a little guilty pleasure of Tim Brennan?
Oh, yes.
You know what Tim Brennan loves? You want to know what song he loves?
Dude, I absolutely want to know this.
All right. You know Whitney Houston's "I Want to Dance with Somebody"? Okay. I want to feel the heat of your body.
Yeah.
With somebody that loves me. Tim Brennan loves that song.
Ooh. Damn.
I want you to
Has
bring
he ever
that up.
Danced with somebody?
I don't know. He's danced
like
with me before.
Song?
But I got to admit, that song's ridiculously catchy.
Dude, no doubt. What is that song? Kiss from a Rose or something?
Seal.
By Seal? Oh, yeah.
I was just singing that.
That
the other
song
day.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah, the Batman
sick.
Song.
That is the Val
that
Kilmer.
That song is badass, and it's like, not really, but totally is.
I brought that up the other day because I was working with one of the youngins in the kitchen, and I was like, have you ever seen the Val Kilmer Batman? And he's like, what? Val Kilmer played Batman? And I was like, dude, it had to be like 92 or 93. I was like, you know, Seal won a Grammy for this song that
That's
he wrote
it.
For it. And he's
That's
like, who
it,
the
man.
Hell's Seal? And I was just like, God, I'm getting old.
The cutest animal ever.
Now, do you guys do any covers live?
Only once. We one time in 2012, I think, We covered Money by Pink Floyd.
Great song, man.
We got our friend Scott Liss, who plays saxophone, to do the sax solo in it. Good stuff. Really cool. And
did
we,
you
like,
do it like a metal version, or you did it
No, I was just going to say, you know, we usually play in like a drop tuning, like a lower tuning.
Right.
And the guitar players and bass players actually switched to like a Strat,
right,
like what David Gilmour would use. They both played Strats, and then one played a P bass, which Roger Waters would play.
Mm-hmm.
And we got like a dude to just rip sax, and Justin sang. And
awesome.
It was super cool. It was so cool. And we tried to, you know... We gave it a little bit of an edge, but we tried to stick to Pink Floyd, like,
hell yeah, man.
You know, as like a as a respect kind of thing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that was the only time we've ever done a cover, and it was pretty sick. We didn't tell anybody, and we just did it at one of our record release like shows just for fun, and it was really cool. It went over great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so it would be fun. It would be fun. We've always talked about, like, because like cover bands, I don't know, all you do is that, well, me personally, all I ever do is like kind of make fun of cover bands, because you're just playing something that someone else already wrote. I get it. It's totally cool. It's just not my thing. But now that I play in a band and you write songs all the time, you're almost like, damn, I wish we could play like all of Dark Side of the Moon
yep,
live once
exactly.
or something like that. And it's like, oh shit, I'm biting my tongue here.
Excuse me. We're actually a tribute band.
Yeah, it's
band.
More of a tribute
we're
band.
A tribute band.
It's not a cover band.
We're called the Light Side of the Sun, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I think, I guess I'll go on record saying this, I think me and Matt, the bass player, might start a cover band, a Kiss cover band, but we're going to either call it Sick or Destroyer.
No.
So, yeah,
Kiss
so
cover
I'll,
band, that's
yeah.
the best you
no,
can
not
do?
Love Gun. That Love Gun's definitely already taken. But we're not going to wear makeup. We're just going to rip the songs because they're sick songs.
Was that like, was that 86 Kiss they took off the makeup? 83?
No, but we're not playing any of those songs. We're strictly 70s Kiss.
We're strictly 80s
Don't
Billy
piss me
Joel.
Off, man. That's
right,
my vision.
70s Kiss.
70s
right?
Kiss.
One more great. Outburst like that at a user, and I will strangle you with my microphone wire. I swear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's... one of my favorite all time, not I won't even say albums, discs of an album, Kiss Alive 2, Disc 2.
It's
really
untouchable.
Untouchable album. Wow. You can't touch that.
All right. All right.
MC Hammer can't even touch
Maybe
that.
That'll be the song I close on tonight.
All right, guys. We've done this bit a little bit before with a few other guests. We're going to try it with you. We're going to call this rapid fire here. We're going to basically do a bunch of questions. No matter how weird the question is, just give an answer to get to the next one. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Were any of you band geeks in school?
Yes.
Have you ever wanted to play the keytar?
Never.
Most overrated metal band of all time?
Oh, damn. Pass.
Ooh.
Which one in the band is most likely to be caught humming a Taylor Swift song?
Justin Matthews.
Abs.
Was Bill and Ted wrong when they exclaimed that Iron Maiden was in fact excellent?
No, they were right.
Name a disco song that one of you likes.
Burn, Baby, Burn.
Do you need a translator to understand Ozzy Osbourne?
No way.
No.
Longest solo performance by any of you during a concert?
I mean, I think it's just going to be pretty bad.
Oh, man, Milky broke his head once, and we probably soloed each, like, just made it up for about 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
How far can you get on Guitar Hero?
Terrible.
I beat the game.
Oh, man.
Who's most likely to sleep with one of the fat groupies on the bus?
Oof, 5 out of 5. Come on, dog. Give everybody a shot.
That's 100%, and it happens all the time. Our merch guy, who is in here, our merch guy will take down a pig any night of the week.
Which day of the week is nice for a white wedding?
Oof. I'm going to say Tuesday.
All right. You all about the base?
Yeah.
Yes.
Best food you got on the road?
Burgers.
Are you more mezzo forte or mezzo piano?
I'm more of a forte guy.
I'd say forte piano.
Very nice. Dumbest ringtone one of you have?
Ooh, the fucking wah,
The siren.
Hate that shit.
Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees?
Jason Voorhees.
Hell yeah.
Craziest thing that you throw that was thrown to you on stage?
Toaster.
What?
I'm kidding. That was Kid Rock.
And we'll
just
go...
want to be him.
Dude was hang gliding.
Idiot.
And I guess we'll go back to the first question. Most overrated metal band of all time.
Let's stick with Iron Maiden.
Oh.
All right. Your time is up, gentlemen.
Well done, tooth grinder. So but, who's talking in the background like that?
Did we score high?
No, you did terrible,
you
guys.
You
did terrible. Yeah. You lost.
Dang it.
The answer was Thursday for White Wedding, guys.
Oh, I was going to say Saturday.
The answer is Quacky Surfy Neat.
I would have accepted that.
But anyway,
if one of you can tell me what that's from, if one of you can tell me what that's from, I'll be very impressed.
Quacky. Oh, God. It's on the tip of my tongue. It's on the tip of my goddamn tongue.
Well, spit it out.
Wait, say it one more time. What is it?
Nanesaki, we know Quacky Serpy Ni.
Austin Powers?
And I'll give you another hint. This will give it away. For the love of God, call the embassy.
Oh, Saturday Night Live?
Very
yes.
good.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
There we go. That's the old Mike Myers, Chris Farley.
I knew it was Mike Myers. I knew it was Mike Myers. That's the game show, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where they
I was
put
close.
The battery clamps on
yep.
his nuts and
mm-hmm.
go nuts.
But anyway, boys, we're getting to end here. So if people want to check out Tooth Grinder, where do they go?
No idea.
Oh, thank you.
No. They could go to Facebook. We have Facebook. It's toothgrinder.usa.
Okay.
We have an Instagram. It's always fun if you don't want to read anything. You just want to look at stuff.
Okay.
And that is toothgrinder_USA. Does everyone know what an underscore is? It's the
it's the
low thing.
It's
the
line
low.
that's been underappreciated
like
for a long time.
You know, if it was a straight thing, it would be like the hole in the word. So just so you know, clarify.
Right.
Let's see. Twitter, Toothgrinder USA, YouTube. You could actually just come to a show, which is so weird. And, like, not a lot of people do, so, like, maybe start doing that.
Okay.
I don't know. Just maybe write that on the list. no, so, I don't know. There's a million ways.
And how about the new album? When can we hear the new album, and what's it called, and what's it
you
being
know,
released by?
I'm going to say it's going to be late winter.
Okay.
You know? Maybe I'm not going to say what the name is yet.
Okay.
But maybe I'll say it's awesome. And
okay.
It might be thematic. And it might draw from other things we've done. It might do something. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Might be interesting.
All right. Who's,
but,
who's
yeah.
putting the album out?
But yeah, it'll come out when it's cold.
Who's putting the album out?
Spine Farm Records. Because
oh,
they wrote. Whoa.
Baby. Oh, baby.
That's pretty solid.
But, honestly, guys, like I want to thank all three of you for coming on, and it's been a really good hang. And
no doubt, thank you for having us.
No, we really appreciate it, and we like to get just guests of all different things, whether it's an artist, whether it's a chef, whether it's a you know, whether it's a guy in a band named Tooth Grinder. You know,
seriously,
it's all good.
Mini school bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wish you guys all the best of luck. And
thank you.
And where is the first stop on the tour?
It's Michigan.
Yeah.
Detroit, Michigan. Nice. Yeah, so we got a little drive ahead of us, but that's okay. They're fun.
That's okay. And now are you guys coming to New York or New Jersey?
Yeah, we're doing Amityville Music Hall in Long Island. And I believe that's on the 9th of September. And that's going to be the closest that we're getting, unfortunately, to home. Like, dude, we like never play at home, which is kind of cool because it makes it special when you do. But I kind of like playing at home. But
absolutely,
but yeah, that'll be the closest.
Are
so.
You playing in that crazy haunted house over there in Amityville?
Man, I hope so. I don't know. It's
That'd
called Amityville Music Hall.
But
so hopefully.
Anyway, guys, you have been a fantastic guest, and I wish you the best. And I really do hope the album does well. And tell Justin he has to get those abs going.
Oh yeah, he already left. He's at the gym. So
oh, that's fine. And I love your locks, man. I love
you. Hell yeah, thanks. Dude.
I love you. Good night, guys, and have a great tour. You, okay. Guys.
Thank you. Later.
Good night.
Another good one.
What a fucking... Yeah, it's nice to fucking talk to a down-to-earth band. A band who just gets signed, who's got things going on and stuff like that. And
they don't hide behind any kind of shroud. Oh, we're metal. Oh, man, I get... Oh, every night I'm all pissed and I get on the radio.
Yeah. It really fucking awesome. Really great interview. Right before we got into the interview...
What happened?
Berlew, you said you had a porn story.
Well, I came close to one. So basically, I was in the middle of Sofia in Bulgaria. Had quite a few in me. I left some friends, and I'm like, all right, let me go grab a taxi. And it was pretty late. It was about 3:30, 4 in the morning there.
Right.
And I was having troubles grabbing a cab. So like when... cabby driver, kind of like you said, the
rape cab,
kind of like a rape cab. Yeah, he's like, oh, you need the ride, you need the ride. No, like, yeah, I need you come in with us, you come in with us, we'll take you somewhere. And so I sit in the back seat, and there's a pretty decent looking girl there, and a guy, and there's another guy in front. And we start heading out, and they start talking Bulgarian stuff like that. And the guy's going to bed. You want, don't stop. We know this good place with nice room. And I'm like, why? No, this is the club with the room. And, all right. And we drive up to the club. It was like a legit club. And I'm just sitting in the back seat. And they're kind of going in and out with Bulgarian and English. But they're like talking to this one guy that's like a bouncer, and they're like, the room is not ready. We need the room for the girl and the guys, and we're gonna do this and blah, blah. And it just got to the point. The guy got so pissed off. He's like, no room tonight. I take you home. I wanted to give you a nice room tonight. And I'm just looking at the guy. I'm like, what was I gonna get something or? And then they took me back to my hotel, and then he played the whole no meter, 20 left. And every indication was I was about to be a part of a Bulgarian porn.
God. So everyone go out there and look up Michael Berlew's Bulgarian porn.
Yeah.
You'll find him. And I think we're going to come to close just because timing wise. And Berlew, got anything?
Trying to think. I'm the only thing I got in mind, Rockin' Joe's. I'm gonna be there in December. I believe you might be coming there soon. I forget when, but
September 19th, I think.
Yeah, that's over in Union at Kane University. Rockin' Joe's, room run by our good friend Rocco Romeo, also run by Steve Schwartz, who's a good buddy of who's been on the podcast. So, you know, look up rockandjoes.com for any information on the upcoming shows.
Absolutely. And I just want to promote audible.com and DraftKings. And I also want to promote our t-shirt sale. I've changed it up. I have a new charity event coming up soon. I got an idea for it. But in the meantime, we're just going to do a t-shirt order. So please... just text me or email me or Facebook me and tell me what size and shirt you would like. And that's pretty much it. I want to thank Tooth Grinder and wish them the best of luck on their tour and with their new album. And life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Holy diver.
Good night.